The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
I'll tell you, before this season started, they said the Dodgers are ruining baseball. Let's get four more wins and really ruin baseball. Let's go.
Breaking news from baseball, where the rich are getting richer. The two-time reigning World Series champion Dodgers have agreed to a blockbuster deal for the two-time reigning AL Cy Young Award winner in Tarek Skubal. In return, the Dodgers are sending pitchers River Ryan and Brady Smith and outfielder Zaire Hope to Detroit.
You can't keep getting away with this! You can't keep getting away with it!
This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good! Buckle up and let's go!
Number one bullshit.
Oh, you see this guy? Number one bullshit guy.
And then just like that, the hopes of a baseball season in 2027 were dealt what feels like a death blow. Welcome aboard, everybody, and happy August 3rd, 2026. Joining you from the wonderful, hardworking town of Kenosha, Wisconsin. Industrial town, small, but good people. And my brother from another dimension lives here, Jason Autumn, longtime listener, one percenter, and a man who loves all the electronic gadgets and tech and everything else, just like I do. I am coming to you live from his son Cal's former bedroom. He is now a graduate of the Arizona State University. That was my safe school, by the way. And not that I regret going to UC Santa Barbara, but I think I could have had an equally awesome time at Arizona State. And his son, Cal, did have a great time, and he's thriving now as a young digital filmmaker, movie maker, digital artist. Like, I don't know what you want to call him, but basically he is the digital film ninja that I wish I was. Not an influencer, although he kind of dabbled at that just a bit. Arizona State, as I told you last week on the podcast, has now introduced influencer as a major at the university. But this is just me today because I've got so much to talk about. It is truly a let him cook type of podcast.
Let him cook. Let him cook now.
Let him cook now. So I want to go back and give you the origin of the let him cook meme, because it's kind of interesting. And then I'm going to talk about the number one bullshit meme, which you heard as well, following the news that Tarek Skubal will be a Dodger, because that is indeed number one bullshit. But the let him cook meme can be explained as follows.
The let him cook meme. In 2010, when a guy uploaded a video of him doing a dance move that he would call cooking to a song by rapper Lil B, he titled this video "Let That Boy Cook." The meme would then pick up again in 2020 when NFL player Russell Wilson trademarked the phrase "Let him cook."
I didn't know he trademarked it.
People began to say "Let Russ cook." In 2022, the meme spread to a photo of Woody from Toy Story with people captioning it, holla,
let him cook.
In 2023, a TikToker by the name of VexBolt uploaded a video of him in Fortnite screaming, let him cook.
Let him cook. Let him cook now. I said, let him cook.
This would then be remixed into a sound that would be used for transition videos. The let him cook meme is still huge. Meme rating, 8 out of 10.
So there you go. Now you know your meme on Let Him Cook. Now let me give you the backstory on number one bullshit. There's actually multiple versions of number one bullshit, starting with all the way back in 2016. Let me get this name right. Khabib Nurmagomedov, UFC fighter, used the phrase during interviews leading up to and following UFC 205 in 2016, expressing frustration that other fighters were getting championship opportunities over him despite his dominant win streak. The line turned into a massive internet meme and a defining catchphrase for Khabib's honest, no-nonsense attitude toward the business side of MMA. Here was the original number one bullshit from Khabib I can't even say it, basically.
This is like, we don't know, maybe you want to say, oh, we no make decision, Dunham no make decision, this guy make decision, like this?
Did you talk to Dana White or anyone else?
You talk about, like, we don't know, maybe Conor make different decision?
Maybe.
This is number one bullshit. I think all Irish fans understand.
Okay, so you got those examples of number one bullshit. Then, after that, there was Nikita Kucherov of the Tampa Bay Lightning, who went on a long rant while shirtless and drunk following their 2021 Stanley Cup victory, in which there is no reporters in the room, by the way, because of lingering COVID concern. We're 2021, and there's still COVID concerns. So Kucherov, shirtless, hammered, went on a long rant about how his goalie, Andre Vasilevsky, should have won the MVP. Instead, he didn't, and that was number one bullshit.
From the Lightning, we have Nikita Kucherov.
I don't know what to say. It's a fucking back-to-back, and you know, and to be able to win this game is huge. Wasi was outstanding. MVP. I was telling him every day, Wasi, you MVP. You're the best player. And then last year, they gave Vezina to somebody else. Number one bullshit. Oh, number one bullshit. Wasi took both cups. You know, he took MVP, and I was keep telling him, he's MVP. He's the guy that fucking, he's the best.
There you go. Number one bullshit from Kucherov. Number one bullshit indeed. Then some taxi cab driver went off in a viral video where he saw a cop put on his emergency lights, bypassing traffic, and he gave us this beauty.
Oh, you see this guy? See this guy? Number one bullshit guy. He do the wee-woo because he have to go in front of the traffic. Look what I do. 22 and he do wee-woo.
Oh, I love it. The internet's undefeated. And now you're up to speed on both memes of Let Him Cook and number one bullshit. But yes, the Dodgers getting Tarek Skubal a rental for three prospects ranked number 6, number 9, and number 27 in their system. That's it. They're 6th best, they're 9th best, and they're 27th best. And doing it on a Saturday night, a full 48 hours away from the actual deadline, where you could have, with reasonable competition amongst other teams, whipped up a pretty frothy demand for the services of Mr. Skubal. But no, they ship him out for pretty much a used string trimmer, a dirty Coleman cooler, and a bag chair on a Saturday night. It stinks to high hell. So the Dodgers gave up River Ryan, who's currently a 28-year-old AAA pitcher with a 4.46 ERA coming off Tommy John. They give up Brady Smith, a 21-year-old Class A pitcher expected to arrive maybe in 2029. And Zaire Hope, a 21-year-old AA outfielder expected to arrive in 2027 next year, if there is a 2027. All of that for Tarek Skubal. Sure. Now, the tinfoil hats are out in force, including KFC on Barstool, who lays it all out. And while I'm not quite wearing the tinfoil myself, I understand that there is a mutual benefit to all the owners, not in New York, LA, Chicago, Toronto, that have the deep, deep pockets, that are more than happy that this looks like it could break baseball.
But after the death of Michael Wiener, the players' union really took a hit in their power. Tony Clark hasn't done a great job. They're probably at the weakest they've ever been. The owners know the CBA is coming up in a couple years. They know this is their best shot, but they know they need a major play if they are ever going to implement this cap. It's one of the biggest battles in all of sports. Owners versus the union, no cap. It seems like it could never get done. Unless they decide, let's sacrifice the next few years. We are not going to win. The Dodgers are, but in the end, this will get all of us owners what we want. So when Ohtani only gets paid $2 million because everything else is getting deferred, all the other owners should be up in arms freaking out about it. They just go, all right, let it happen. When all of the Japanese players only go to LA and it's just a foregone conclusion it's going to happen and no other teams are in the mix, I wonder why. Every free agent they want, they get. Every draft pick they want, they get. It's because the entire league is working with them to prop them up, to create the illusion that baseball is broken and we need to overhaul the entire system. Baseball parity is fine. There's been 16 champions in the 2000s. It's like the most parity almost out of any league. But they want that cap, and they know the only way to get it is to create the illusion that the baseball world is vanquishing some villain that is ruining the integrity of the sport. They said, let's sacrifice the next 10 years of losing in exchange for an eternity of this league operating the way we've always wanted it to. The only way to explain how the Dodgers did this and the other owners allowed it to happen because they all wanted it for the long-term success of their wallet.
All right, I have a thought about the so-called parity, so let's put that aside for a moment. I don't think it's that the other owners are colluding to prop up the Dodgers. They don't need propping up. They have a completely unique and wholly insane advantage money-wise because of their cable deal that they signed at the peak of linear cable TV, in which they have $350 million a year that does not have to be shared. Hell, the Yankees deal currently in their regional Sportsnet deal is only like $120 million or something like that per year, and that's the Yankees. Plus, the linear cable world has fallen apart. The streaming landscape is a hellscape for these baseball owners who are trying to figure out, how do we pinch together the digital pennies that used to come from the linear dollars? But again, that's a whole separate thing. The luxury tax is crazy. The Dodgers now have a higher luxury tax bill of $180 million than Cincinnati, Milwaukee, the A's, the Rockies, the Pirates, the Twins, the Nats, the White Sox, the Cardinals, the Rays, the Guardians, or the Miami, I was going to say Hurricanes, not the Dolphins either, Hurricanes, Dolphins, Marlins, they have for their entire payrolls. So in other words, their luxury tax is more than the payrolls of all those teams. That is not sustainable. That can't go on. Brewer fans, I know, are going to be disappointed, very much so. But someone put it succinctly as follows on Twitter. Listen, guys, the Brewers aren't a Tarek Skubal away from the World Series. They scored one run per game against the Dodgers. One. And they got swept in the NLCS. Skubal doesn't fix that. That is so true. It sucks that LA got him, but I'm glad the Brewers didn't sell the farm for a rental that doesn't get them any closer to a title. Indeed, indeed. Part of the reason why they could only get one run a game is look at this potential now lineup of their starting five pitchers. Skubal, Ohtani, Glasnow, Snell, and Yamamoto. Now, I know there's some injury concerns amongst all of them, except for Skubal. Ohtani's got a knee they're a little bit concerned about. I believe Glasnow's in a rehab. Snell is coming back. I mean, they're not all there right now, but guess what? They don't have to be there all right now. Last year, the Dodgers were the third seed in the National League side of the bracket, and they still won the World Series, although it was close. And I'm going to talk about that more in a second as well. Of course, there are the Dodger truthers that say, hey, we just do it better. We run a better organization. Maybe other teams should try the same. Sorry that we're investing in our team. We're spending the money. Maybe you cheapskate owners should do the same thing. Here's a typical tweet, this one from the real Matt Carey. Nobody wants to hear it, but the difference between the Phillies and Dodgers isn't money. It's how much more efficiently they spend their money at the major league level and how they've developed their farm system. A lockout and a salary cap isn't changing either of those things. To which I responded, that's some big trust fund kid energy right there. Hey, man, don't look at me because my dad's rich and I've got a trust fund. I just work hard. All right. I put in the time to be head of this. What's the name of the company, Dad? Yeah. To be the VP of what? International sales and imports or whatever. If you really believe that, Dodger fans, then guess what? You ought to be in favor of a cap. A cap would let you run your super efficient, smarter than everybody else baseball operation, and then prevent teams like the Blue Jays from just outspending you and poaching all the players that you would otherwise get. You would see, in theory, if you really believe this, be in favor of a cap. Dodger fans are not in favor of a cap. They're just in favor of pretending like their advantage does not exist. But back to the cheap owner angle. Here was Big Cat, Barstool Sports, and I like Big Cat a lot, but he's dead wrong on this one. He takes the angle of, look at these cheap owners.
I think my brain has shifted where it's like, I'm sick of complaining about the Dodgers. We should be complaining about the Pirates owner and the Reds owner and the Rockies owner and all these owners that don't want to spend a dollar. That's who should get the blame.
Yeah.
Not the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Right?
Dodgers are, they're being smart.
Right. Like everyone else who's making money and not spending it, you're the ones who should be pointed at, not the Dodgers for spending money. Yeah, they're in a big market. Yeah, they make more money. I get that. But still, like if you're a Pirates fan, you shouldn't be mad at the Dodgers. You should be mad at your owner. And I'm mad at the Cubs. I'm mad at Tom Ricketts for not spending more money.
And guess what? All the owners that say that we're losing money and that's why we can't spend on shit, ask them one simple question. Will you please open up your books so that we can verify that you're losing? And they will never do it because they're not losing money. In fact, the valuation of their teams alone
Correct.
Is making them a shitload of money year over year.
If you're losing money, sell your team.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
And they won't.
Just sell your team.
You want to know why they won't sell
their team? You'll make a lot of money if you sell your team.
You want to know why they're not going to sell their team?
Yeah.
Because they're making money.
They're making
money. All right. To pretend that all owners are as rich as everyone else is ridiculous. And to think that all the franchise values are going up and up and up is also incorrect. Football is not baseball. Baseball is not football. Football has pretty much the economics of a gold bar printing mine that just ka-chunk, 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 gold bar endlessly because the NFL is an irreplaceable television show about quarterbacks. And the networks need that programming. It's the only thing keeping the networks afloat. So therefore, the NFL is in a totally different economic situation than baseball. Baseball is trying to scoop up the water from the melting ice cube of what once was big-time regional cable sports net revenues and figuring out how to collect what they can from direct offerings, digital streaming, team packages, etc. That's why the valuations for baseball teams are so much lower. I looked up the last three sales of MLB teams. The San Diego Padres sold for $3.9 billion to the Jose Feliciano ownership group, as well as the minority owner of Kwanza Jones, which is the coolest fucking name ever. Kwanza Jones. If that's not a porn star name, I don't know what is. But sold for $3.9 billion, the Padres. The Orioles sold to the David Rubenstein Group from the Angelos family for $1.7 billion in 2024. And the Mets sold to Steve Cohen from the Wilpon family for $2.4 billion in 2020. $2.4 billion for a New York-based baseball team. Think about it. Baseball plays how many more times the number of games than football? Whatever that number is, 10 times almost. And they're only being valued in a major market like New York, a fifth of what the Seahawks went for in Seattle. That's why football's not baseball, baseball's not football. And the owners are wildly disparate in terms of their billionaire status. Mark Attanasio, owner of the Brewers, is a billionaire, but barely a billionaire. And the Brewers are in market number 38. Their team value is $1.9 billion. I'm not sure they could sell for that. And they report revenue of about $350 million per year. Not full book disclosures, but that's pretty much where it's estimated at. Then you've got to back out player costs and all kinds of other stuff. He's not rich. He's not as rich as these other guys. Steve Cohen for the Mets is worth $21 billion. The Rogers family in Toronto, $19 billion. The Ricketts family in Chicago, $8 billion. The Walter family in L.A. with the Dodgers, $7 billion. The Illich family in Detroit, $7 billion. It's a different landscape for everybody. Also, think about this. When it comes to baseball, to pay for a supposedly difference-making pitcher, I'll take Gerrit Cole as an example. Gerrit Cole gets signed by the Yankees, 9 years, $324 million. Assuming he does not get hurt, that equates to, according to the WAR formulas, WAR, who? What is it good for? Estimating value over replacement. Doesn't really hit, does it? The WAR on Gerrit Cole is somewhere between 6 and 8 wins. 6 and 8 wins versus a replacement level pitcher. $324 million for 6 extra wins. And those are 6 extra wins that may not matter because you may win the division by more than 6 games. Of the 6 extra wins he gives you, some of those wins might be 12-2 wins in which your bats go crazy and it didn't matter who was pitching on the mound and that Gerrit Cole did not make a meaningful difference. Then once you get your extra 6 games over a course of 162 at the exorbitant cost of $324 million of non-insured guarantee the guy's going to play for you or still be good. By the way, have you seen Paul Skeens' velo numbers? Scary. Boo! His ERA is pushing near 4. Skeens in Pittsburgh. But I digress. So you're paying a ton of money for 6 extra wins, and then you get thrown into the playoffs. And what they've done now in the playoffs in baseball is that they've made it even more of a crapshoot because you've got to win a best of 3 if you're in that first wild card round. The Dodgers were last year. They beat the Reds 2-0, so they're out of that round. Best of 3, best of 5, best of 7, best of 7 to then finally hold up the Larry O'Brien trophy, to hold up the commissioner's trophy in baseball with all the flags on it and say, yay, we're the champs. What is best of 3, best of 5, best of 7, best of 7? That is 4 very short sample size runs of maybe you win the game, maybe you don't. They're kind of coin flips. So you're going to pay all that money for one player to get 6 extra wins that may or may not matter, to get thrown into a playoff bracket in which you've got to win best of 3, best of 5, best of 7, best of 7, which is very random in baseball. It ain't worth it, and the owners in baseball know it. In football, if you get a Patrick Mahomes, you write a check for $500 million. You don't blink. You know why? Because you now have an enduring centerpiece of your franchise for a decade or more to come. Same thing for a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson, a guy who gives you a real chance to win every single game, every single year, a guy who is on every web page, every poster, every koozie, every magnet schedule you have. That's the value of football. Remember, baseball's not football. Football's not baseball. And last year, with the Dodgers as the 3 seed, they won the World Series. Yes, indeed. But boy, it was close. It took Rojas throwing out IKF at the plate in a cloud of dirt and a replay of, I don't know.
Varsho. Roller to second. Rojas comes home. And it's Miguel Rojas who ties it in the top of the ninth, saves it in the bottom of the ninth.
Question's going to be, did Will Smith have his spike on the plate or not in time?
After reviewing the call, the field is confirmed.
They
confirmed
the call.
Two outs.
It was that close. And just because there have been 16 different winners of the World Series since 2000, which is remarkable in terms of the final champion's outcome, it doesn't mean that a gross and unacceptable disadvantage does not exist. It does. Anyone with a brain knows that. So you can't confuse the parity of eventual outcomes, such as who won the World Series, versus a parity of likely probabilities of winning. The Dodgers and the Jays and the big spenders and everyone else have a much higher probability of winning in a series of short-run trials of best to three, best to five, best to seven, best to seven. So, yeah, Scooble's been traded. And the best meme I saw was the Office meme where Dwight is confronted by Oscar about where.
Are you serious? Where? Where? Where, Dwight?
Seems like you already know where.
Seems like you already know where. Okay. Well, doesn't mean that it won't be a fun October. I think it probably will be. But we probably won't be baseballing in 2027. Diamondbacks 12, Guardians 8 yesterday. Geraldo Perdomo. Great game. Four-hit game plus a home run. How about that? Diamondbacks putting the wood to the Rawhide. Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good. Maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. Mybookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Turning to some other sports news and stories, Stephanie White in the WNBA, coach of the Indiana Fever, and Caitlin Clark and MAGA Barbie, otherwise known as Sophie Cunningham, was asked about boys and girls sports. Boy, did she have an answer. Wasn't a good one, but boy, was it an interesting answer.
What's your stance? What is your stance on men or athletes who test as biological male participating in women's sports? What's your personal stance?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would say that I'm educated enough from a scientific standpoint. I don't ever believe that exclusion is an answer. I just don't. I do think, when we think about various levels of sport, various governing bodies of sport and things that go into that. Like I said, I'm not educated enough at the different levels. I know growing up, I played with the boys all the time.
So
there
you
weren't
would,
girl sports.
Would you welcome a biological male in WNBA?
I don't know. When we talk about biological male and scientifically where we are, I think it's a totally different scenario. As I said, I'm not educated enough in terms of transgender and transitioning. To give you a smart answer. I would say, though, that I just don't feel like exclusion is an answer, and I think that we need to have deeper, more layered conversations.
Yeah, okay. So this is the thing that the WNBA and others in women's sports can't square the circle on. In their heart, they know that men have an advantage physically, and they know that if biological men were allowed in any number to invade women's sports, it'd be over. So they just want to live with the comfortable lie and the comfortable belief of, well, if there's only one or two, and if they're not that good, then we can live with it, and we can then be able to say, look at us. We're so inclusive. We're so caring. We are so loving, blah, blah, blah. I'm not educated enough. By the way, Stephanie White, formerly straight and had kids with a man she was married to, is now partnered with Lisa Salters of ESPN, which I say good for her. But still, it's just very interesting because that never really gets brought up. But exclusion is never the answer, is a hell of a answer, because guess what? Alas, it is. Exclusion for safety and fairness reasons, is really the grid work of sports. You exclude the men from the women so you can have a fair game. You exclude the young from the old so somebody doesn't get killed. You exclude in boxing the 200-pound guys from the 150-pound guys so somebody doesn't get their head crushed in. I think it'll take a dude in a wig who's 6'7", 240 pounds, who can reverse dunk at will to really disrupt the whole thing. I'm not sure who would be up for it, but it's just sitting there waiting to be done. Again, it's one thing to be inclusive and sympathetic and loving to people who choose to live their life the way they want to live it and be happy. I don't think anyone's against that. I'm not. But when it comes to playing sports, this is continuing to be a problem. And the WNBA doesn't seem to have the stomach for figuring out, yeah, at some point we have to admit what's obvious. One other story from the W that's pretty incredible. The partner of Brittany Griner, who was, of course, the woman who was in jail for 9 months in Russia, an ordeal in which she was sent to a work camp for a period. And was finally eventually negotiated free in a deal for Victor Bout, the arms dealer that we had on our side. Her wife, Brittany Griner, lobbied relentlessly for her freedom for 9 months. Sherelle is her name. And during her stay in prison, one of her letters back home to Sherelle was, look, I don't know when I'm getting out. I'd understand it if you left me because it's going to be a little while here. Sherelle said, no, I'm not leaving. I'm staying. I'm going to fight for you. And now Griner has filed for divorce, claiming the marriage is irretrievably broken. I'm not going to try to get into their relationship, but man, that's a hell of a thing, huh? I got you out of Russian prison and I stuck with you and I lobbied the president. I lobbied our lawmakers. I'm like, please, whatever it takes to get her back, we've got to do it. And then a couple years later, yeah, sorry, filing for divorce. Wah, wah, wah. While we're on the wah, wah horn, Bitcoin trouble. I know just enough about Bitcoin to be dangerous and to be yelled at for being woefully uninformed by those of you who have Bitcoin and other crypto. If you do, that's great. I hope it works out wonderful for you. I'm skeptical of the whole thing, namely because, so you're saying crypto is good because it is immune from the inflationary money printing bullshittery of fiat currency and governments? Okay, on paper, I can see that. But if the world goes parabolic financially because of all this other stuff, these other financial institutions that run the world, how are you going to use your Bitcoin then to function efficiently in a world that's gone upside down? Like, in other words, what's your tea time? To my golf buddies who are in crypto, I'm like, what's your tea time when the world goes sideways? How is that going to work? Also, the steps needed and the education needed to protect your Bitcoin is crazy as well. There was a major hack over the weekend of something called a cold wallet, which is a physical device that is meant to be never connected to the internet, that Bitcoin owners would store inside of safe deposit boxes at their local banks, and yet somehow it got hacked. How? Because the cold wallet, from what I understand, had you generate this 24-word, not character, 24-word seed phrase that the hackers, with the use of AI, exploited a hardware coding issue in the cold wallet and then brute force guessed with AI going brrr, through all kinds of combinations and guessing passwords. And before you know it, $88 million or more was stolen of Bitcoin. Now, somebody tweeted, imagine buying Bitcoin at $69,420, holding it through the FTX scandal, the Celsius scandal, the BlockFi, the Voyager bankruptcy, surviving a 75% drawdown, holding for four more years, waiting until it hit $126,000, which it did, deciding not to sell, and then riding Bitcoin down now to $58,000 and then losing it overnight because a single dude at Cold Wallet couldn't do the most important part of his fucking job, which is to generate a random fucking number. Insane. Yes. And, you know, the reason to do self, what do they call it? Self-custody of your Bitcoin is because if you have Bitcoin in centralized exchanges, they might go bankrupt or they might freeze withdrawals, just like FTX was a huge scam. Somebody said they can't keep their Bitcoin in hot software wallets because their laptop might get hacked. The cold wallets, obviously those got compromised. Can't deploy Bitcoin in DeFi because there's like a new eight-figure hack every month. Where am I supposed to keep my Bitcoin, they say? I don't know. But hey, those believers that still believe in it, you're going to keep on keeping on. Cam Newton has a weird way of being, quote, competitive. Take a listen to this from Cam Newton. Cam, when it comes to strip clubs.
I never went to a strip club for women. Really? I always went to strip clubs for guys.
Really?
No homo.
We went to a strip club.
No, didn't. But not for women, though.
No homo.
It was always, see, okay. And I'll explain this, Mary. I'm a competitor.
Mm.
So I wasn't going to spend no money if I didn't see nobody else spending money. As soon as I seen somebody thinking that they got money, that's the competitor in me to be like, okay, yeah. You spending five, I'm going to spend six. If you're going to spend 10, I'm going to spend 15.
Mm.
And then we're going to have a rain off.
Yeah, I love it.
So
I seen you do that in Onyx.
So that's it. My whole thing. It's like, I don't go to strip clubs for chicks, even though I want decoration. I was a competitor, still am a competitor, to think like, nigga, you think you got it, but you don't got it. Because I'm going against drug dealers. I'm going against, you know what I'm saying, hustlers. And I'm like, that 15 that you making, I'm going to spend my 15 and I'm going to make it back easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't that.
Just a second.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Professional athletes making millions of dollars view the world, everything in it, in a way that is incomprehensible to us, the average citizen. It made perfect sense to Cam Newton to brag about this on his podcast. And of course, his sycophantic co-host is going to go, oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah, no, yeah, that was cool. I remember when he did that. They're not going to stop and go, that's the dumbest thing ever. You're pissing your money away to flex on some dude you're never going to see again to prove how rich you are? Okay, then. Well, I guess this makes me a Democrat, at least for once. Cannot believe that I agree with this. It's getting roasted online, but I'm sure it's going to generate a few emails. New York Democrats have introduced a bill that would require discounts by grocery stores of 10% on all items scanned by the customer at checkout. Yes, I've been saying this for years. Speaking of number one bullshit, I'm now working for you. I'm now a checkout clerk. Well, no, that's not the case. I mean, it's a more convenient way if there's not enough checkout lines, and then you can go do it yourself, and there'll be one person manning the eight different places, and we'll have cameras watching you like we know you're a thief, and then if you don't put the item perfectly on the scale, they'll say, hold on, it'll put you in the penalty box, you gotta go wait for the supervisor to come over. Complete bullshit. Yeah, they do it for money savings. So I want to participate in some of that money savings. One response was, so many bad policy decisions occur because policymakers don't understand second-order effects, but this is one of the few situations where they understand exactly what the second-order effects are, which is getting rid of the self-checkout. 10% may be a bit much. I'd settle for 2% or 1%. We know the grocery stores are saving money on the self-checkout. I want a piece. I want a taste. 1%, 2%, something. Give me something. And then we can replace all of the checkouts with that. Hell, we should be in a world where you put your items on a conveyor belt. They go into a tunnel. They get scanned for price. They then get wrapped securely, bundled if need be, sorted if need be, into appropriate, sensible containers that come out on the other end of the tunnel with handles on them so you can grab it and go. Should be that simple. We're not there yet, but maybe we're getting there soon. Finally, a wild idea that I wish I had thought about myself. Are you ready for adult summer camps? That's right. Adult summer camps. Apparently, the demand is exploding of this novel concept. The thesis is simple. People are burnt out and lonely, and they're looking for a way to book weekends that feel like being a kid again. But this time with open bars, memory foam, no parents. Yelp searches for these things have jumped 350% recently. A solid weekend runs about $500 to $1,200 a person. Includes the usual archery, kayaking, rope stuff of camp, plus karaoke, foam parties, paint and sip, and the whole deal. It sounds like a swingers weekend to me. One influencer's women's only camp sold out in under 10 minutes and ended up with 60,000 people on a wait list. That sounds a bit much. The modern version basically started around 2013, but it's really gaining ground. Well, I would argue that, you know, guys' golf trips are sort of like adult day camp. You're there with other friends without adult supervision. And by adult, I mean, well, your wives. And you do something you all really like. Fun together, but you can make it camp if you really care about canoeing and archery. What a world, people. What a world. Okay, that's enough for me today. Thank you very much. I hope I cooked a delightful meal for you. If you liked it, please rate and review. It helps tickle the algorithmic overlords and promotes this podcast and gets it out to the world. Tell a friend. If you would like to support me financially, subscribe to the subscriber edition. That's Fridays with me, Scott, and Solid, the old first team on Fox team. And you also get Monday through Friday or Monday through Thursday ad-free. So you got that going for you, which is nice. Thanks for listening. Have a crackerjack Monday, everybody. And we will see you next time. The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.